Hello and welcome to another Connecting Consciousness. Today it's the 5th of October, Saturday, and hopefully this will go out on the Sunday. Very much regret, regards to Andy who will do that. It's really important doing this now. It's not even 8 o'clock yet in the evening, but we're looking to see the vote. It actually started at 7:30 this evening, our time, in the Senate, and the process now. So it might be that during this hour's presentation, we actually get the result in. So it'll be very interesting. All right. So thank you very much for listening and watching. It's the update. What I wanted to talk about, literally, first of all, been some reports of another assassination attempt on President Trump. So we're getting to the point, sort of shrug our shoulders and say, well, what's this 6, 7, 8, 9? How many are we at the moment? I haven't got any confirmation of that. And there was a recent attempt. I have confirmation of that, but in the type of assassination attempt, some talk of an attack on Air Force One. I haven't received anything along those lines. I've just been told that there was another attempt. So, if anyone gets any more information on that, I would actually be quite interested to hear that. Secondly, I think we want to look at the political situation now. So much is riding on the vote. We know that the first vote went through 49-51 to put Judge Kavanaugh through as a Supreme Judge. And this vote that's taking place as I'm speaking now is really important. And there's a major reason why. I was out driving today and listening to BBC Radio 4, The Voice of the Nation. And we're talking about if Judge Kavanaugh was elected, how it would be a vote for the Conservatives. And remember, of course, in America, the word conservative does not mean what it means in Great Britain. It's a completely different concept. But they were saying, it would be a thing for abortion rights and a whole list of things, gun control. And the one thing, of course, that they didn't mention was the fact that Trump would have the ability then to start opening some sealed indictments. So the most important thing that could happen wasn't even on the agenda. Nothing there. And it's just so typical. I mean, when the truth comes out, what will all these news people do? Will they just say, oh, well, yes, we always knew, but we weren't allowed to say anything? Or will they just absolutely fall on the floor and say, why did we never pick it up? It'll be very interesting to find out. So I wanted to talk about this Kavanaugh business. Again, the media got completely confused. There was a vote that you'll be aware of, and just before the vote was due to be taken, one of the Republican senators said, well, hold on a moment. I think I would rather like the police to investigate this. And on the strength that the chair of the meeting agrees that, I'll vote for Kavanaugh. And the media sort of ran with this, that it was a guy getting wobbly feet at the last minute, and would he support him or wouldn't he? And the reality of the situation was that when the doctor had made a statement regarding what she believed to be true, and Judge Kavanaugh made his statement about what he believed to be true, President Trump said, what we need is a police investigation, because that will give everyone the confidence to have a vote, knowing there'll be an FBI investigation. So far from it being this wobbly senator, this was agreed at the White House and came down. And it made it easier for people to vote for Kavanaugh on the understanding that there would be a police investigation, the FBI. So you could say that Trump is being a little bit disingenuous there. You could say that. But you could also say the Democrats are being rather disingenuous, because a woman senator, when she was told that this is the plan, and I think you'll find this is recorded in that session, says along the lines of, well, what's the point of that? We're not going to learn anything more than we've learned here. How dare she prejudge a police investigation? How can a senator know that the police investigation won't throw up anything more than what has been said. Unless, of course, they're all in on it and they've planned it all. They know there's no substance behind it and they don't want a police investigation because it will find there's no substance behind it. So that was a very, very foolish and interesting thing for the Democratic senator to say, because on the one hand it says, how do you feel you have the right to prejudge an investigation? And on the second hand it says, what do you know that we don't know? So that's interesting. The other thing is that what's not widely known is the contents of the FBI report, which all the senators have seen and the public haven't, gives the option to the Senate to start an investigation of the people who brought the allegations against the judge. So my understanding is that the FBI are saying that there are sufficient grounds to investigate those people who have brought allegations against the judge. Now, if the Senate authorize through the White House the FBI to start investigating, then that's a very interesting aspect. So that's not public, it's in the private domain, but my understanding is that there is a possibility now for the Senate to start investigating those people who've made these allegations. Now, if that does happen, that's a heck of interest. Why is this all important? It's important because these Supreme Judges aren't voted in and out of office. They hold a position for as long as they're compos mentis. As long as they can live and as long as they can walk and as long as they're warm, they hold that position. So maybe Kavanaugh will hold that position for 40 years. Who knows? So it doesn't matter who comes and goes in the White House, those guys and women hold the position. That's really important because if in the midterm, as I expect, the Democrats will win in the House, but perhaps don't win in the Senate, it still means that any legal proceedings taking place would have a majority of one for Trump at the top level. Isn't it incredible that those of us in the know are aware of a large number of these indictments? Originally it was about 6,000, then it was 15,000, 20,000, and I accepted 20,000, and when it went to 40,000 I was like, oh, that's a lot of staff hours to create that. And I actually went and had a chat with somebody and I said, is this true? And the information I got back was yes, and that was at 40,000. Now we're being told it's in excess of 50,000. And remember, what's really important here is not just American people living in America. My understanding is that there are Americans living in other countries who would be subpoenaed and actioned by these documents. In other words, living in another country doesn't give you the protection of that country if you're an American citizen. Now, October, November, December, these are the three crucial months, because the bill that Trump signed, I think it was in December, January last year, or January of this year, allowed a mixture of civil and military courts or tribunals, which would need to be reenacted every 12 months. In other words, if President Trump, for whatever reason, doesn't authorize the opening and actioning of indictments October, November, December, I don't think he's going to be able to do it for the rest of his presidency, simply because if he doesn't control the House of Representatives, I don't think he'd be able to re-enact another 12 months of possible military tribunals. I know Ben Fulford quite rightly has spoken about Kavanaugh and said that Kavanaugh said that we are living under a military diktat since 9/11. But my understanding of what Kavanaugh meant by that was in terms of eavesdropping, the Patriot Act. I don't think it necessarily means that military tribunals can be brought in without recourse to the Senate. So I actually think that if Trump doesn't do it in October, November, December, he's got a very hard task to try and do it more. If these names come out, as we hope they'll come out, they'll be household names, there'll be names linked to past and present politicians, past and present corporations, and it'll be a massive eye-opener for everybody, but a huge slap in the face for people who have blindly gone along and supported a particular argument without really looking at the facts. I have heard that some of the elite of the land are seeking some form of protection. So we know that the Rothschilds have been changing their position a little bit of late, seeing how the land lies, and I can understand what they're up to. The question is quite where they will decide to build their bed, shall we say. That's down to them and to anyone else. I put an interesting clip on the website, simonparks.org, which had a retired general, Major General Stubblebine. Now, he has come out before in public way to make statements, and he came out again saying that, look, an aeroplane did not hit the Pentagon, and perhaps just as importantly or more importantly, he categorically says that aeroplanes did not bring down the two towers. Now, why is this important? It's important because he's a major general. Yes, he's retired, but he was a major general in an incredibly high-ranking position. And probably the highest ranking of the elite, remember he served under George Bush, that was actually come out publicly. So you would think if a retired major general who had served in the White House and the Oval Office came out and said, actually the Twin Towers were not brought down by an aeroplane and an aeroplane did not hit the Pentagon, wouldn't you expect every major and local and regional newspaper to carry that as an important news item? Nothing. Nothing at all. So, on one hand, we have some very interesting movements and changes for the good, but on the other hand, the steel grip of the controlling element is still there around the neck of humanity. Major General Stubblebine comes out and says the Twin Towers were not brought down by aeroplanes, and it doesn't even get a mention. Now that's concerning. We could laugh and say what you expect, but that's not my point. My point is the control that these elite or cabal or shadow government, whatever we want to call them, is still so strong that they are able to do that. I know there have been lots of talk about the doctor who said that, you know, she'd been attacked by Kavanaugh. Lots of people have said that they think that she's mind controlled. I've looked at the photograph of her. I can't say that she's mind controlled. What I can say is that she has suffered trauma as a child. Without question, she suffered trauma, but that could have been in a car crash, she could have fallen off a tree, or she could have been electrocuted, she could have been tortured, who knows. But all I can say is that having seen her, she's definitely had trauma, many people have, but I can't go as far as to say she's had mind control. But if the FBI believe that it's worth investigating, then I'm sure that sort of thing might come out. Just recently, another text from the White House was sent out, not to all Americans, but to many Americans. And FEMA were looking at getting into all the television and radio stations. It is just possible that in order to counteract the cabal's control of, we were just talking about the newspapers, but that goes across to TV and radio, Hollywood, maybe what happened is that the president will use this special channel to send every American citizen an alert on his or her cell phone. Maybe radio stations will actually be forcibly interrupted with a report from the president. TV stations will be forcibly blanked to cover this. Maybe that's the only way that the White House thinks it can say to people, you know, this is the real truth. Don't read what it says in the New York Times. New York Times is very pro-Clinton, actually, very anti-Trump. So there's a heck of a lot going on. It really, really is. And October, November, December are the crucial times. I remember someone telling me they saw a video that I did with Wynne Keach back in my old house, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years ago now. And I said 2017, 2018, really important times. And they really are. 2017 saw some very positive changes, and now perhaps we're at the crunch of it. So that's really it. It really is an important time, and I just hope to goodness that some of these indictments start being opened and the truth comes out. Can't come soon enough. Right. I want to very quickly say thank you. We had the Connecting Consciousness meetup in London, and some of those clips are on and are being put on the website, and you can see some of the members that turned up. You can see the coordinators working with some of the groups. There was another group which isn't shown, that was behind curtains. They wanted a bit of peace and quiet. So I wanted to thank a number of people who've been playing a role and do play a role in Connecting Consciousness. And I have got a written list here because I can't remember everyone off the top of my head. So in the UK, I want to thank Ranjit. Ranjit is the London Connecting Coordinator, Connecting Consciousness Coordinator. I want to thank Eddie. Eddie does all the coordination of the internal groups. So, you know, if you have a Harry Potter Defense Against the Dark Arts group, that's an internal group. So Eddie would be organizing that. I want to thank Yoski. Yoski does the external groups. So Yoski will perhaps arrange for me to meet people, or arrange for a guest speaker to come in, or connect with organizations in other parts of Britain or other parts of the world who might be interesting. And Yoski's also working up in his own right as a Japanese coordinator, a Japanese group. I want to thank David. David is the CC coordinator in the southwest of England, based in Devon, but I think they move around a little bit. Sue, I want to welcome Sue. Sue is the new Scotland CC coordinator. I know Rebecca and I were determined to get outside of London. I wanted to get the regional CC going, and Scotland was the first target, and that's been achieved now, so that's really good. Big country now going abroad. Norman is the USA coordinator, but also Norman does transcripts, and he's ably assisted by Frankie. Thank you, Frankie, for doing the transcripts as well. What these transcripts are all my past shows. These are all the past radio shows that he can use, and he's putting them together. And he's also creating a Connecting Consciousness database so that we can at least have access, and the members can have access to, you know, different information. And so he's the one doing that. And he's doing the USA CC website. So a really busy guy, and really grateful to him for doing that. Lynn is a Canadian CC. She does the website and the database for Canada. Thank you. Karen, she's the Canadian coordinator. Moving down the list now a little bit. Angela, Renee, and Lyra, the Swiss coordinators. And when I had the meeting in London, one of the Swiss coordinators came, and I did want her to speak, but unfortunately we weren't able to because we overran. It's my fault. I could have stopped it, but the members were at a very crucial point of bringing forward their ideas, and I felt that had to happen. But nevertheless, you know, that was much appreciated that somebody flew over from Switzerland for the meeting, and I really appreciate that. Kirsten, who is in Sweden.
Norway.
Oh yeah, Norway. Norway and Sweden. Can't read the writing. And Bridget, who's helping with Sweden, and Sitzel, who's in Denmark. And these people come under the Scandinavian group. So what I did was, I could see the connection between Norway, Sweden, and Denmark as part of a Scandinavian group. I'd like to have Iceland and Finland and anyone else. That's what we have at the moment. So they work together, although they are separate countries, but they share so many joint concerns and issues. So they're doing really well, and that's really good. I've got Louis, who's the Spanish coordinator, and we're going to have to give him a plug because he hasn't got very many members. So if you listen to this and you're in Spain, please get in touch, we can, you know, try and put you in touch with the Spanish coordinator there. Paul in Ireland, and Paul is helped by James, and I'm due to go over to Ireland at the end of the month and meet the group. I'm looking forward to that very much. This is the for all Ireland coordinator. I've got Elizabeth in New Zealand. Hi. And I've got Will, of course, in Australia, and Will had a recent meeting and doubled his membership. Really, really, really well done. That was fantastic. We've got Angelique in Chile. So it's not just English-speaking countries. You know, you imagine it to be that, but not always. And, of course, I wanted to thank, you know, our very famous duo who keep the computers running just about and help out with everything, and that's really good, and that's Andy and Kathka. But also got a note here because Becky's in the process of appointing a German and Austrian coordinator, so I want to get Germany back on its feet in terms of CC, and it's very important that Austria and Germany do work together. So it's quite a long list of actions there. So thank you to that. So I want to get on to the questions now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, the German and Austrian coordinators are two separate coordinators.
Ah, right, okay.
One for each country.
Right, thank you.
And, and it's Birgit who helps with Sweden and Norway.
Right.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Right, first question is by Jim. Are there female djinn, or are they just whatever gender they want to be? Also, are there actually good djinn out there? Thank you for all you do. Much love and light to you and everyone who helps you.
Oh, that's a really kind thing. Thank you for, you know, thinking of everyone else behind the way. There are female djinn. There's one tribe of female djinn, only one tribe. All the others are male. And are there good djinn? Right, let's see. How do we define good? I'm not being difficult. I'm not being naughty. How do we define good? From the human standpoint, let's define it like that. No, there aren't. But from their standpoint, they're all good. Okay? So they think they're all good. From our point, no, they're not good. So we need an independent way to judge it. And the way we judge it is, do your actions hurt somebody else? You know, from time to time we do things which have a negative effect on people, but do these particular entities on a regular basis do things which disadvantage humanity? And the answer is yes. So there aren't good djinn, but there are three tribes of djinn which are more amenable to a discussion than the others. So you could get into a discussion and negotiation if that was your way of wanting to work with them, whereas the others are not really, they're not, I've used the word programmed, I don't mean it in that sense of the word, it's not the way they are, they just go out and do it and then they go back home again. So I hope that's the answer that that helps you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I was just thinking, if someone was looking at humanity from an observer's point of view, you might be able to say, are humans good? And it'd be a very difficult and complex thing to answer because our range of actions are so widely varying that it's actually quite difficult to categorise.
I think that's a really good point. I tell you how I would respond is that humanity has the potential to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these other entities, as they stand, are very limited mm-hmm. in their ability to move out of their mindset.
Mm-hmm.
But humanity has the potential to connect to source. I mean, they say, yes, you're connected to source all the time, but what I mean is enacting it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a really good point.
Okay, thank you. Dee says, Simon, Wes Penry talks about the hidden war between the satanic factions of reptilians and the Anunnaki, which appears to be going on now. Are there boots on the ground Anunnaki here now? If so, is either Trump or Putin an Anunnaki? Are chemtrails designed to keep Nibiru hidden from view?
Right. Lots of questions.
Mm.
The Anunnaki, in terms of the modern development of humanity, are quite recent, relatively new. The reptilian faction is much older, and what the reptilians always sought to do was to not just control, as in we own the land or we can beat you, but we control it because you are us. It's a bit like the Borg in Star Trek. So what reptilians do as master geneticists is they put a lot of DNA, for want of a better word, a lot of material into the creature and begin to make the creature like them. That's the cleverest way from their perspective, because it doesn't cost any money. It doesn't mean you get wars directly. It means that this group, or whatever you're targeting, become like you. They start to think like you, and they proxy for you. That's why there's so much reptilian material on the earth. But nevertheless, there has been a breakdown in trust or communication between the Anunnaki and what we could refer to as their overlords. There are a key number of Anunnaki type beings on the planet, but you know, here again, what is an Anunnaki? You know, what is an Anunnaki? And what it is the soul of the person. You know, let's forget shape-shifting in a total sense, because that's an energy reptilian masking over a human. And we're not looking at that. We're looking at a real living flesh creature that is part human and part something else, but does have the capability to part shapeshift. But what we're looking at is the soul in their body. If that individual has incarnated in that energy field and is now incarnated in a human body, then it is an Anunnaki. Now, it then makes a choice for good or evil. Remember how we're judging good. So yes, you've got Anunnaki now that are turning against the reptilian overlords, turning against their own Anunnaki handlers for a whole host of reasons. But you've still got a lot of very quite unpleasant people who we could call Anunnaki who are still following the old line. You asked in particular about Trump and all the rest of it. No, Trump is far too fifth dimensional. The thing about President Trump, he's not fourth dimensional. He is fifth dimensional. So he's not Anunnaki because his soul vibrates at a fifth dimensional rate. If you look at Hillary Clinton, she was fourth dimensional with a heck of a lot of reptilian in her. And so the chalk and cheese, really. Remember, you can't say because somebody has a reptilian soul, they're evil. You know, that's just not the way we're going to do it. What we're going to say is, does the person want the best for humanity, regardless of what's in their soul? And if they want the best for humanity, then they're on the right side. But, you know, you could have someone who's a very high dimension, maybe 7th, 8th, 9th dimension, who's gone off the rails and, you know, thinks that 3/4 of the population need to be wiped out. So we can't just judge because someone is a Palladian or an Andromedan. They are one way, and someone who's a reptilian or something else is another way. It's a bit more complicated. So it's a really good question, so thank you.
Okay, thank you. Barb says, what dimension does our soul reside in if we choose to follow the light to what we would consider heaven? So what dimension is heaven?
Well, I use the word God, and I did read some of the comments and people got all uppity about it. And, you know, when I use the word God, I don't think of a man floating in the clouds. It isn't some overlord. It's just the word God, source, the great creator. You know, it's just a label, isn't it? The point about the great creator is that they exist in all dimensions at once. Because if we accept that as truth, then the great creator, God, source, has the ability to create something in the third dimension or the 12th dimension. So all of it is source, all of it is creational energy. If you go back and you make it through back to the creational force, then you are going back to all of, this is why time doesn't run linearly, this is why time comes round on you. You're going back or forward, however you want to look at it, back to the creational force where you were first created. And so don't look on it as, well, God must be 12th dimension or 13th dimension. It's all dimensions. And then if you're lucky enough, and I mean that truthfully, to break through the barrier, determined enough and practiced enough to get there, then you know, you might have a heck of a shock on, because it might be, oh, you need to go back there and carry on the good work, or you've done your job, you need a bit of a rest. So I'm going to stick you off to the Pleiades where you can have a swim with the dolphins. So that's my answer to you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Diana asks, can you tell us whether there are reptilians that still appear as large reptiles that still exist underground? Or is the term reptilian more to describe the lineage of humans that still contain a large amount of reptilian DNA? Or is it more of a soul-level reptilian content?
Oh, can we just... Sorry.
Okay.
Right. the original... the original reptilian forebears, according to the reptilian culture, were dragons. So rightly or wrongly, the Draconis believe that many, many, many millions of years ago, their forefathers or forebears walked around on 4 feet and were dragons. And whether they breathed fire, that I don't know, and I doubt that, but nevertheless, that's what they believe. Hence the word Draconis, because remember the star system is called, you know, the Draconis star system. And there aren't many countries on the planet Earth that don't have a dragon culture. And it's always struck me as odd that those people who go to university and pride themselves on writing lots of bits of paper haven't actually put two and two together to make four to understand why so many cultures, all speaking different languages, all very different, many of whom have a shared memory or shared connection with dragons. So first answer is they believe, the Draconis believe that the original king and the original queen were dragons on four legs. Under the ground, no. Because that race has evolved into a number of races, and one of the races are the oppressors of humanity. So that was the first part of the question. What was the next one, please?
So is whether those reptilians are still reptiles, or whether the term reptilian is more to describe the lineage of humans that still contain a large amount of reptilian DNA.
No, they're very proud. The group that I'm familiar with anyway are very proud of the term reptile. That's why we have it in English, and I expect other languages. That's why it's an honour word. Why is it an honour word? Because if we look back at the fossil record on this planet, you can find lizards, reptile creatures, millions of years old in the fossil record and haven't changed at all. If you look at mammals, they are continually evolving. Now, here's the standpoint. From the Draconis or the reptilian point of view, they've reached the pinnacle of their evolution. They don't need to evolve because they've reached the pinnacle. That's where they are. They are superior to mammals in their thinking because they don't need to alter. But from a human point of view, humans possibly have the edge because mammals can evolve and adapt to changing environments. So given enough time, mammals could potentially go from an Arctic condition to a desert condition, whereas if you put an iguana out of the desert and stuck it in Iceland or Antarctica, it wouldn't be very happy. So one of the questions is, how have the reptilians maintained the sort of environment that they're used to over all this period of time? You know, if you look back at Earth's history, there is some truth in the fact that about 2-3 million years ago, the forests in Africa began to be reduced greatly because of the temperature changed, and it was more of a savanna than a forest, and that the monkey-type creatures were forced, therefore, to come out of the trees onto the ground. So remember that I've always accepted the fact that reptilians and other space-faring people have tinkered around with humanity's genetics, and they had to use the stock of the creatures that were already there. So in one way, it proves that humans, mammals can evolve, but are quite dependent in the short term on their environment. Maybe what's happened is the reptilians have created a technology that allows them to bubble or to encase their communities within an environment that sustains them happily. I know it's very hot. I remember I talked about it before a long time ago as a 5 or 6 year old visiting one of these places, and it was so hot. It was unbearably hot because that is the natural temperature for these creatures. Anyway, that I think, was there one more? Did she snuck another question in there?
She did, but I think she's still trying to ask, is the term reptilian more to describe the lineage of humans that still contain large amount of reptilian DNA?
No, absolutely not.
Or is it more of a soul-level reptilian content than a DNA or physical measurement?
Right, if a person contains a considerable amount of reptilian, both in the physical and in the energetic, they are capable of changing parts of their bodies into a scaly site. It's quite exciting. I am not able to do that. Just to confirm that, I can't do that. But I have met people that can, and these are very good people, people who want the best for humanity. That's not a reptilian. That is a human person who's got a lot of reptilian in them for whatever reason. It's a soul level. So on Earth, if you're looking at a person, and they have reptilian, they've most likely got a reptilian soul in their body, and therefore their physical body expresses the nature of the soul. Those that are able to do some dramatic changes are a human, imagine the human shape, but dropping a sheet over it with an energy overlay of a reptilian consciousness. That's completely different. That's like a takeover of that individual. And there are a number of those characters on the planet. So lots of good questions there, thank you.
Mm. And some humans with a lot of reptilian in them, their eyes can change, the pupils of the eyes become more slit-like, but then that goes back again. But that's one of the more common shape-shifting. The ones where the skin goes scaly is a bit rarer, or sometimes some people grow in height, don't they, in stature?
The eyes are relatively common. It's far more common than even people who are awake and aware perhaps are aware of. It's not the eye that actually physically changes generally. It's like a projection over the eye. That's far more, far more common. Because if a reptilian element is expressing itself, then that's what happens. So I could make a joke now and say that there's a person with a lot of Palladian. Do they produce a dolphin-like tail? Do they make dolphin-like squeaky sounds? Actually, they probably do. So a person's soul expresses itself through the body, and we have to be very careful that we don't join the pitchfork and burning torch or burning brand brigade and go burning people's houses down because they might be able to shapeshift. So we have to understand that it's about your intention, whether you're good for humanity or you're not good for humanity. Thank you.
And sometimes the ability to shapeshift might have something to do with the finally having drawn down a certain aspect of their DNA, like one of the strands of their DNA.
Often, for many people who are fifth, sixth, higher dimension, the very last strand of DNA they draw down is the hardest one to come home, which is, of course, the reptilian. I just had a flash up confirming that Kavanaugh is now the Supreme Judge. So isn't that great? On a live, you got it here. Well, no, it's not live, because you'll get this on Sunday, but here we are. It's 5 minutes past nine on the 5th of October. You know, just been told that Kavanaugh's got it, but I think it was knife edge. So that's exciting.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Shelley says, "Dear Simon, thank you for all you do to help humanity learn our true history. Your knowledge and wisdom is greatly appreciated. I am confused regarding our soul origins. My question, how does our soul lineage and body lineage interplay? Why is our soul identity associated with the very first body we incarnate into? Is this because our soul was initially created at that time and therefore identifies with our first incarnations over all subsequent incarnations? Is our soul picking up and retaining all the genetics of bodies we incarnate into?" Thank you.
Right. It's a really good question, and when I work with clients, it's something that comes up for every client. The answer is yes and no. There are a number of people who, when they're incarnated, they don't incarnate into a physical body. They are incarnated into an energy form or just pure consciousness. Therefore, they don't have a physical form. But if you're going to come here and do some work on the earth, you're going to have to come down and come into a body. And it would be pure folly to come from a higher dimension straight down into earth. You would be had for breakfast. So what a lot of these higher beings do is they stop off on the way, sixth dimension, fifth dimension, where they obtain a physical body and they begin to learn about humanity, basically. And then when they've done that, they'll either decide to miss out the fourth dimension and come straight here, or go to the fourth dimension, try to understand what it's all about. Because if you can understand the fourth dimension, you get a good grasp of what's happening here on Earth. And then from that come here. So when people talk about bloodline, they don't just mean the blood in your veins. They're talking about the physical body's connection. But we really should have the word soul line or spirit line. Because if, for instance, a person incarnated as a pharaoh in ancient Egypt, you technically could call them bloodline, but only if the physical body matched the soul. So when a soul has chosen with Source its vibrational frequency, it then finds a body that matches, by and large, that vibrational frequency. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it has to incarnate into an area where the body does not match the soul's vibration, but the soul is on a journey and needs to incarnate in that particular location because it's part of what it wants to do. Now, after maybe 1,000 years, and maybe, I don't know, 10, 20, 30, however many incarnations, the soul begins to, as communicated with the physical organic body, and begins to take on the idea of the physical body, so that when it leaves that dimension, goes into another dimension with a different physical body, the soul starts to rewrite the physical body. Now, humans have 2 eyes, a nose, 10 digits on the hands and 10 on the toes. So unless something's gone very wrong, that can't be rewritten or rechanged. But whether you're fat, whether you're thin, whether you're tall or short, whether your eyes are blue or green, I don't care what the doctors tell me, this is linked largely to the energy of your soul journey. So the soul is expressing itself through the physical body. So it doesn't matter what colour your skin, but we'll come back to that, because black people often have brown eyes, but not exclusively so. But it doesn't matter the colour of your skin, it doesn't matter the accent of your voice, it doesn't matter how much money you have, it doesn't matter how much you dress. You will have a blood group and an eye colour, and that is like a fingerprint, and it tells those who know a little bit about you. So the soul and the body are one in the sense that they must work together, but when push comes to shove, the body is discarded and the soul then will go and find another body. Hence out-of-body experiences. Hence when someone has a near-death experience, it is not the physical body that leaves the soul, it is the soul that leaves the body. That should tell us all we need to know. So it's not complex, but it's incredibly exciting the way that a physical form and the real you, the energy you, match. Now, I'll just finish on this. Let us just talk about the character Jesus. That big argument whether Jesus lived or didn't. Let's just say Jesus lived. Jesus would never be fat. The soul in Jesus' body would always want a slim person, never a fat person. So there are certain characters in history which reincarnate. Let's take Queen Elizabeth I, Queen Victoria, and Queen Elizabeth II. There are certain traits that come through these individuals because it is the pattern that is approved by the soul. It's a really good question, and one that I just don't have enough time to talk about because it would impact on everyone else's questions, but thank you for that.
Okay, thank you. The next one is really long, and I think what I'll just do is read everything out and hopefully get an impression.
Okay.
So you can answer an impression.
I'll do my best.
This is by Alexis, who is a USA Connecting Consciousness member. Alexis says, human reproduction, domination. I can't read yet.
Okay.
Control.
All right.
Probable manipulation by cabal. Were women once free to express themselves sexually without unintended pregnancy being the probable consequence? Monthly menstruation, random fertility, subjugate women, children, humanity as well. Sexual violence, assault, child rearing, primarily responsibility of women worldwide. Women, children, men suffer circumstances. Did humans once possess the ability to determine if a child would be conceived? The idiom of keeping women barefoot, pregnant, and in the kitchen Will humanity be able to have control of their bodies and their fertility in future without drugs or other methods of birth control?
Right, the biggest problem for the divine feminine was the moon. That's the biggest problem. The moon, as we know it, is an artificial construct. It doesn't just control the oceans. It controls a lot to do with the feminine. And that was a byproduct of it. That's why, you know, so many females were called moon goddess. That's why Princess Diana ended up the way she did, because she was a moon goddess. And so the answer to your question is yes. This is a patriarchal planet, and it was after the fall of Atlantis. We could say that many of the continent, or elements of the main continent as it was then, were patriarchal, but Atlantis was divine feminine. Remember, Lumeria was patriarchal but had some feminine in it. Going off course here a bit. But basically, when Atlantis fell, the divine feminine who found themselves in employment in ancient Egypt or wherever else found that their position wasn't anything like what they had, and that they needed a person to protect them and employ them and guard them. And over the years, their position deteriorated until, if we look at ancient Rome, you know, it was reduced to things like the Vestal Virgins. So when the Catholic Church really took off, it was merely building on this patriarchal control system, all born out of fear of the divine feminine. Because if we believe, and I do, that Atlantis was a crystalline technology, and each of the high women was connected to, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 12 foot crystal, you had a capability as a divine feminine to do things the masculine couldn't do. That's what terrifies males who live in fear. There are many, many males that live in fear of females, and it was all around the fact that women could do things that men couldn't. So what did men do, the bad men, was to control the females through rules and laws, and innuendo and tricks, so for instance witchcraft. The hoped for development is all part of what I hope is going to take place in the next 3 months, because in order to break this very high energy bond, one has to break them very lower down. It's going to be bottom upwards, basically, not top downwards here on this planet anyway. And only when males and females, but when, this is what we're talking about, males begin to question the reality that they have accepted, will they then be open to living in a world without fear. So at the moment we're feared that we can't pay the rent, or we can't pay the mortgage, or we can't pay the installments on the motor car, or we are fearful that, you know, if we don't have a designer pair of jeans, our friends will not like us. Or we're a Catholic church or what have you, and we're fearful that if we let women come into the highest position, you know, they'll take away our jinn parties or whatever it is that these priests get up to. So what I'm saying is that it is all born of fear. And if you imagine my hand is the planet Earth, I know many of you understand that time isn't in the line. Time could either be described as this motion or actually corkscrew motion, doesn't matter which. But if the top of the screen here is patriarchal and the bottom of the screen is matriarchal, so male at the top, female at the bottom, the planet Earth at the moment, which is here, is moving down into the feminine. So we have, we're dropping out of the strong masculine time. Think of the time of the Vikings, think of all the bloodthirstiness and all of those things. We're coming out of that, and we're now coming down into a feminine environment. And this is the change which is perfectly natural on this planet. The problem is that we have physical bodies which are made of chemicals. And these mean emotions that are controlled by a chemical reaction, as opposed to electronic emotion, which is more even. So our physical bodies are responding to the subtle change in the energy field around us, as we are currently moving from a masculine to a feminine, and this is creating a lot of interesting things on the planet. Again, another really fabulous question, and one that, like the previous one, that we really need a proper debate on it. And I'm sorry I can't give you any more because of the time constraints, but thank you for writing in.
Okay, thank you. The next person signs himself as Dr. B, and they say, my 27-year-old son was recently admitted to a mental health facility for episodic mania. This is the second time in approximately 16 months. What are the chances that this is due to some kind of demonic possession?
I don't know the case. I genuinely can't answer that on a specific case. I would need a photograph. Ideally, need to talk to the person concerned. It's very... I don't use the word easy, meaning it rude about doctors. I've got a lot of respect for doctors, I really do. But the word schizophrenia or bipolar, it's easy to trip that out, because you can then go and get the old pharmaceuticals to, we've got some drugs for you. And they don't cure you of it, they just control you of it. And that's great, because, hey, you're going to be schizophrenic for 30, 40 years. That means that you're going to be bringing this prescription in for the next 30, 40 years. So, that's really good for the pharmaceuticals and the shareholders. It's not good for the individual. It's not really good for humanity. So, I'm sure there are mental conditions which may or may not be alleviated by drugs. But there are a number of cases that I have worked with where an individual has been diagnosed with schizophrenia. But when I've actually taken the trouble to actually really look into and ask the right questions, then these individuals have been plagued by off-planet entities since they were born. And so all I can answer you is that it is possible, but without the knowledge of the individual, I can't say for one way or the other. Just think about the Bible. It's very fashionable to laugh, but there's a lot of truth there, Don't throw the whole book out. There's a lot of truth hidden in the Bible. And, other holy books talk about, these holy people casting out devils. But up until that point, that individual was seen as a complete madman or a complete crazy woman or bipolar or schizophrenic, or they didn't use those words back then. And there is so much confirmation where a demon was removed from the person and the person then became normal, whatever that is. So all I can tell you is there's a possibility of it. But I would have to talk to you privately. So thank you. Thanks. A good question. Thank you. One more question, then I'm going to do my thank you list.
Okay.
And I think we're then approaching the hour. It goes so quickly, doesn't it? It really does.
Okay.
One more question, eh?
The next question is by Nicholas, who says, many say the universe is predominantly benevolent. That is, that its substratum is love. Beneficence,
yep,
in its highest spiritual sense. It is also pure consciousness and multipolar, that is male and female in perfect equilibrium.
That's interesting.
Can you comment on this and expand, please? And how is evil so intertwined and tolerated?
Well, it's tolerated because it has free will. I could be quite short on this. Some of the worst evils on the world, child trafficking, paedophilia, all of these horrible things, Satanism, don't exist in the third dimension. hang on a minute, they don't exist in the third dimension and they don't exist in the fifth dimension or higher up. But they do exist on Earth, and Earth is a third dimensional planet. Earth has been crafted with a band around it of fourth dimensional energy. These words that we use, Satanism, paedophilia, they don't exist anywhere else. They only exist in the fourth dimension. And that energy has been brought to the Earth and is being used to control the Earth. That's why many people who come here to on a mission to try and do good will stop off in the fourth dimension to understand what the heck it is they're fighting, to get a good handle on it before they come here. And those that believe themselves to be totally pure miss out everything and come straight here. They're in for a heck of a shock, because this is such a primitive planet. And if you come here from the 10th or 11th or 12th dimension and you just you incarnate here, you go mad, because you know it's so crazy down here. So we need to understand what the fourth dimension is. And the very evil people, the evil off-planet entities who came from the fourth dimension, and that's why they got stuck in there, because that is the energy that creates this. And if you get into that and you believe that that's worthwhile working with, then that's why you're in a dead-end street or a cul-de-sac. It's why some of these entities in the fourth dimension are not advancing, because they're actually not just stagnating, they're actually going down. I talked before about some of these entities are in a bubble that's forcing its way down into the third dimension. So it's tolerated because when the great creator made everything, it gave it the choice to do it. Humans can't leave alone. I never had... Oh, what's the term when you keep a whole nest of ants? There's a special word for it. Apiary, is it? No. Anyway, I don't know. Because one of the things that I've never had to think about...
But between two sheets of glass and
yes.
Earth.
Okay. What's it called?
Don't know.
All right. Well, anyway.
I'm just imagining it.
Yeah, yeah. Two sheets of glass. I've never done that. I don't think I'd ever want that. But anyway, wasn't that in the last Alice in Wonderland film with Johnny Depp? It was, wasn't it? Anyway. So, humans can't leave well enough alone. So, you've got this sort of fishbowl, and you're forever poking it with a stick. Do something. You know, that ant has been sitting there at that corner of that chamber for 10 minutes, and it hasn't done anything. So, I'll poke it with a stick gently and make it move. Or, if I add this syrupy mixture, what will happen? And if I do this, Source isn't like that. Source creates and says, oh, I'm going to leave it. And it doesn't matter what you do, because that's your choice. I've given you life. You go and do with it. So what happens is that when some of these creatures start to really threaten a ecological system like the Earth, then other creatures that were made, other living humans, but not exclusively so, but humanity tends to stick together. When they see one of their own slowly but surely being flushed down the toilet, they say, we have free will to go in and help. And that's by and large what's happening. And occasionally Source will move in and make things happen to balance the books, because the evil energy is doing the same thing. So Source and the evil side tend to try to balance things out. And then it's the free will choice of all the other living creatures as to whether they, which side of this balance they want to go on. So it is the way it is because it is the way it is. And if it wasn't that way, if life was fantastic, why would we strive? What test would there be? There wouldn't be a level of dimensions, because if everything was brilliant, there was no issues. We'd have reached the pinnacle. But we've got the fifth dimension calling to us. And we can only get there when we've proved that we can break through the fourth. We understand and we learn and we both physically and mentally and energetically change. And we do that. And people in the fifth and people in the sixth and so on, they all are tested in their own energy field. And they're either kept on hold, like a holding pattern where an aeroplane flies round and round and round before it's allowed to land, or they're advanced upwards. So this is what it, partly anyway, what it's about. It's about we've been given the life, how do we live it? And do we identify what's holding us back? So thank you. I want to just thank everyone. Now, I was pretty ill a few weeks back. The last time I was that ill, I was in a hotel room meeting somebody from SETI. British people might not know what SETI is. SETI is an American-funded organization that seeks to connect with extraterrestrials. It's semi-independent, funded by the US, so I suppose it's not actually independent, but there isn't a major general sitting at the table. It's a civilian staffed organization with some very, very gifted people. And I had a meeting with somebody from SETI, and that's when I was attacked, and it was pretty bad. And I had one a little while ago. I want to thank those of you who were in a position to help me out. You sent me some lovely donations. I've had more donations over that period than I have for a long time. I think people were concerned for me, and it's their way of trying to support me. And yeah, I was able to buy like really good food, and lots of orange juice, and things that unfortunately cost a lot of money these days. So to have decent food, not processed rubbish, it does cost. And actually, organic chocolate. I have to admit to that. I love organic chocolate. So, people heard me. I didn't ask for any extra help. I just said, look, I've been really ill, and I've been bringing up blood, because that's what happens. And I was many hours in a hospital. But here I am, not dead. And it's not my time to go yet. I can't afford to go yet, because I'll only have to come back again, like many of us. So, I am so grateful to those of you. You're all wonderful. Some people just can't send any money because they're struggling, and I appreciate that. But those who did have a little bit to spare and were able to help me out, I'm really grateful. I want to just read out. If I've missed your name out, it's not because you don't matter. It's just because I've missed your name out, okay? Because I have to read my list off, and sometimes I miss names out. So I want to thank Carol, Vesna, Oliver, Jeff, Paula, Candice, Sarah or Sarah, Edeline, Terry, Stefano, Manuel, Valerie, Campbell, Alan, Exciting, that's a good one, Gunda, Roberto, Rudolph, Paul, John, Richie, Claudia, Patap, Eric, quite a lot, Mary, Ingrid, Stefano, Kurt, Martin, Robert, Kayoko, John, Susan, Gabriel, Marvin, Donnie, Christine, Susanna, Charlie, and Chari. I should have written those two names separate and it would have been easier. Robin, Kathleen, Iris, Erica, Petra, Nicola, I'm going to have to struggle with this one, German name, good German name here, Seals and Shimmer, thank you, Isolde, Raina, Anita, Raymond, Drumset, of course, Thomas, Danola, Trisha, Petra, Erica, or it could be Eric, Andrea, Simon, Monica, Gerald, Marilyn, Delrina, David, Veroli, Hans, Sharon, James, Natalia, nearly finished, K-I-S-S, Kiss, Teresa, Brian, Kenneth, Bella, Karen, Martin, Vincent, Nuala, and Eric. If there's a name that's appeared twice, it's because there were two separate people who donated with the same name. A great thank you to you all. It always takes about 2 weeks after the attack to get back. And I did actually have to put off the Kerry Cassidy show. I just wasn't well enough to do that. And I think I put it off 3 or 4 days. I was absolutely determined to do that because I'm not going to let anybody beat me. Not going to let them, you know, stop me going out and trying to connect with people. So there we go. Kavanagh, unless my information is completely off the wall, Kavanagh has been confirmed as in. And as soon as we close this, I'm going to go and check the established news to see what the established news is saying. So listen, God bless to everyone. Thanks ever so much. Remember that if you're listening to this, you are a spiritual person. Please try and demonstrate that with people. Remember, there's lots of people who are unawake and unaware, and just by the way you talk to them, the way you demonstrate to them, is the best way to educate them. You can stand talking to them for 10 minutes and they'll just glaze over. We've all seen it. They just shut down and glaze over. So it's much nicer to make a statement. So for instance, I don't mean someone on the street, you know, who's obviously really badly into drugs, but that's another issue why they need help. But someone who's you know, trying to get themselves together, then give them some money. And if that person was a really bad drug addict, give them some food. Don't give them money, give them some food. Show a demonstration of education to those people who just walk straight past and don't want to do it. In the way, if you're an employer, the way you treat your staff, you know, try and treat them in a spiritual way. And I don't care whether you're in a multinational or in a small family business. You know, if you in a creche, in a school setting, try and not just have that professionalism that you have, but try and interject some spiritual way of life. If you're a school teacher, try to bring that spirituality into the curriculum. You know, and that is how we can actually start to make a change on an individual basis. So thank you, and look forward to speaking to you soon. Bye-bye.